I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today we have serial killers. I mean, Phil Chalmers has seen it all, done it all, and it's a little disturbing, but very important. So sit back, enjoy. Well, I don't know if you can say enjoy. Sit back and learn. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Hey, Phil Chalmers. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I want to hear who Phil Chalmers is. What are you in and around real estate? Tell my viewers and listeners the story.
Yeah, so I get out of college in 1985.
That was a good music year, by the way.
It was the 80s, man. And I was raised in a very dysfunctional home. I was around violence and alcoholism, poverty, and you know, my whole upbringing. So I was really drawn to working with troubled kids. So 1985, when I got out of college, it was business or working with troubled kids. I just said, you know what? I'm going to do really what my passion was. And I started working with troubled kids, rapists and killers who were juveniles. I started doing that. I started interviewing kids in prison. And I realized that I'm learning about these kids by talking directly to the killers, which that'll make sense a lot later when we talk about real estate killers. So I found out the causes, warning signs, triggers of teen murder, why kids were doing these crimes and killing their parents and shooting up schools. And I did that. Really, I've been doing that since 1985. But around 1993, I wanted to stay home a little more. And I thought, I want to get into some kind of sales business. So I got my real estate license in 1993, real estate from 93, probably up to about 2015. So almost 22 years. I was one of the top agents in my hometown for many years, Aurora, Ohio, suburb of Cleveland. And just, I love marketing, very aggressive. And we changed the culture. I came up with all the first one to have a moving truck, first one to have a team, all that stuff. And so I left the business a couple times, the real estate business, to do this other passion, which is interviewing killers and training law enforcement. So now, as of 2009, I started training police officers in the FBI. And so I started interviewing all kinds of serial killers. And, you know, Charles Manson would send me Christmas cards with the swastika on. I'm really creepy. I talked to Son of Sam. I still talk to Son of Sam every month. But I interact with a lot of these personalities, and I'm working on serial killers right now. All that is happening. And a couple of years ago, I'm watching a Dateline 48 Hours special, and it has a real estate agent, and it happened to be Beverly Carter. It may have been a repeat. It may have aired a while ago, but I saw it. It must have been a repeat because I saw it a couple of years ago. And I was shocked by what I was seeing. And then I realized NAR says there's 60,000 acts of violence against realtors every year, which is a lot. So I just dug a little bit into what kind of training is out there for real estate agents in the safety field. There's not much. And the things that I saw, no offense to anybody that's doing it, and you know, wasn't good enough. It wasn't enough to keep people alive because I had talked to all of the killers. See, the thing that a lot of these people don't do is talk to the offenders. You can't really get the media doesn't even have the story correct. Right? It's not the story. The guy's never spoken about the crime. And so I was able to, like for Beverly Carter, I was able to get Aaron Lewis to actually confess to doing the murder. And he told me exactly how it went down. It was fascinating. So I've been doing that for the last couple of years. And I decided it's time to launch a safety plan for real estate agents. I have experimented with it in Ohio, Georgia, Illinois. I've done a little training here and there. But I'm ready to launch this thing. And here comes Lee Brown. Here I am. So,
all right. So let's go backwards and dig a little bit. So you said you came out of college and started interviewing child killers. How in the heck do you start doing that? Are you cold calling the jails or what are you doing to make that happen?
It's easy. You just track down who you want to interview. And my very first interview was 1990 on death row in Oklahoma. For the Oklahoma listeners, watchers, viewers, there was a kid named Sean Sellers that killed a Circle K clerk and his parents. He sacrificed them to the devil. So I want to talk to that kid. So you send him a letter to prison. He responds. You say, I want to come talk to you. He says, yes. And all of a sudden, at a very young age, I'm standing on death row in Oklahoma, and it was wild.
So it's just like cold calling in any business. You can seriously cold call somebody on death row and they'll let you come visit?
Yep. If the inmate wants to see you, you can go visit anybody you want to, including Charles Manson or anybody like that. So I just started going and doing these interviews. I would interview him over the phone. I would interview him through the mail, and I would interview him face to face. My second interview, believe it or not, I sent a letter to Son of Sam, and he responded, and I went to visit him in 1990, I think. And when I came back from that trip, I realized that Son of Sam is nicer than my dad, which is really, like, I don't have a normal life, all right? And Son of Sam cares about me more than my dad, actually. He calls me every month. So it's been a wild ride, and I've done a lot with it. I've written several books. I just did a podcast called Where the Bodies Are Buried, and that is owned by actor Dennis Quaid. I've been on the show Killer Kids on A&E, and we're working on my own TV show right now. I got a great agent, so we're very close to having a TV show on a major network.
Man, that Son of Sam documentary, I guess it's on Netflix, was something else, because as a child of the 80s, that was almost it was already urban legend by the time we were growing up, but you couldn't get the same depth of information that you can get now. And I guess it just never occurred to me to want to call and interview serial killers. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the fact that you talked to Beverly's killer. And for those of y'all that don't know, if you're an early career realtor, or if you're a regular person who just is fascinated by real estate, and you probably already listened to all these true crime podcasts too, and that's why you're here. But Beverly Carter was a realtor in Arkansas. She was beautiful. She was medium age, blonde haired, had the whole look going on, very successful realtor. And this is probably 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. Like many agents, she gets a phone call. She goes to show a property. It's vacant. It's out in the country. And then nobody hears from her. Nobody knows where she went until they find her in a shallow grave. And because of Beverly's murder, her son Carl got into real estate so he could understand more. Why would my mom do this? And he's become not just a successful realtor, but he is one of our leading voices in the safety space. But as you said, Phil, there's just not a lot of offerings out there. And frankly, a lot of real estate agents are allergic to hearing about it anyway, because nobody wants to think about possible negative outcomes, which we could have a whole discussion about how that screwed our society up, that we're unable to think about possible negative outcomes or consequences. And so we just pretend bad things don't happen. But let's also point out that it's not just female realtors that are at risk. There was a male realtor 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I can't remember now because I can't keep track of time, but up north in the Philly area, where he had his throat slit in his car outside a listing, and it took him 2 days to bleed out before anybody found him. And the buyers didn't do it. Obviously, they weren't looking for sex. He's not like he was some male model or anything. It's about generally power, I would say, probably a mental disconnect and thievery too. So tell us a little bit about what you discovered about the people that are committing these crimes. What's their motivator? What should we know about the perps?
I mean, there's so much we could talk about. There's a lot of myths. One of the myths is it's female realtors have to be worried about this. Half the realtors killed are males. There's been a ton of male homicides. And I'm going to release one of my books coming out. I'm going to have a chapter just on this. And you're going to meet a lot of realtors, a lot of male realtors who were killed. And I said, we were talking about this, Lee. Female realtors are more at risk of being raped, kidnapped. Male realtors, they'll just come in and shoot you. Boom. A lot of us have this mentality that serial killers or even these realtor killers are motivated by sex or lust. And that's just one small segment of them. Some of them are angry. Some of them are driven by money. Beverly Carter's killer wanted money. Ann Nelson's killer just hated women. And I've interviewed James Hole. He's going to be in there. He wanted to kill a female realtor because he was so angry. So everybody has a reason. And it's not always what you think. That's why some of my myths are like people say, use a professional headshot. That has nothing to do with this. If you're a female and Nelson was 70 some years old, the myth of letting people walk in front of you doesn't matter who's walking where. If you're upstairs with them, that's insane. Dress professionally has nothing to do with this. Let people know where you are so they can find your body. That's a good idea. Trust your gut. This is what a lot of people say, trust your gut. I mean, there's nothing wrong with trusting your gut, but if that's your only advice, it's not enough. So I've got a 12-step plan that I want to release to the industry. And Lee, you and I were talking, some of this is not politically correct. Like there's an aspect of this where some realtors don't want to know about this. Some companies don't want to scare anybody out of real estate. And we're not trying to scare anybody out of real estate, but if you're not careful, you can become a victim.
Right. We want you to think. And
yeah, I mean, we need the business, right?
We need the public to think too, though, Phil. Like, drives me crazy. Like, even if you get a realtor to take your class and get your 12 steps and think about their safety, they're still going to get a phone call. And the phone call says, hey, run over and show me this house. And what does a realtor do? Hops up and goes. And if it's somebody you know, right, well, they could also hurt you, because we got all those stats too, that sometimes it's not a random stranger. But a realtor will go to an empty house or an occupied house. They've never been in there before. They don't know the floor plan, with somebody they may or may not know. They're going into a property that has locks, that has doors and has bathrooms and closets. And you got to think about this. And they didn't tell anybody where they were going, because they just got a text and they hopped up and went. Or even if they told somebody, they mentioned it to their buddy. All right, so is the buddy even listening? People have ADD. They're distracted. They're exhausted. They don't tell their spouses. You certainly don't tell your kids if you're going to go show a house. People just get up and go. And it's not just buyers too, because somebody calls me and says, I want to sell my house. All right, I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to do all my research. I'm going to pull all the information. I still don't know the humans that own that house. I don't know who's going to be there with them. And we just don't think our way through all these parts of the process. And so if you are looking to buy or sell a house, I need you to think about this. We get these calls. Mm-hmm. Why don't you think about your own safety too? Because the realtor might be crazy. Let's just point that out. But also, the realtor doesn't know you. And so they ask you for your ID. They ask you for some financial information. Those are the questions that hopefully start that process of scaring off the crazy person so that the realtor can be kept safe. But anyway, the thought process is just wackadoodle. So talk to us about those 12 steps.
I mean, it's dangerous just to go into a house, right? I mean, just to go into someone's house is dangerous. Even if you're not work, a killer is with you. A couple quick things I have to say. Aaron Lewis, why was Beverly Carter so comfortable? Because the wife called and said there was going to be a couple showing up. So she let her guard down because she was talking to another woman. Secondly, this is as dangerous as being a sex worker. Sex workers, they deal with people they've never met before. They get into vehicles with people they don't know, and they go to places like houses, empty houses with strangers. That's what we do. Dangerous. But let's talk about the safety steps. Obviously, if you're more seller-focused than buyer-focused, it's safer. Meeting clients at the office, that has to be a must. But along with meeting at the office, I want you to run their ID. There is visitor software you can get where you can just run. Because a lot of people, if college kids have fake IDs, so do killers. We think these killers are dumb. They're not dumb. They're very smart. Obviously, never again ride with someone you don't know. I want you to stop holding traditional open houses, right? Traditional open houses have got to go away. We have got to stop. I can't believe in 2020, we're still doing this. 2021, 2022, what are we thinking? We're still having strangers come into someone else's house. I mean, just the robbery, burglary aspect is insane, but it's not safe. So Lee, my goal, my job is to get realtors to go from a traditional open house to, I want you to have an open house tour. You hold 4 open houses on one afternoon and you free yourself up the rest of the month, which is wonderful. The open house is only a half hour each. It's live streamed. You're wearing a body camera. Yeah, I want you to come into technology like police officers, firefighters, everybody else. And you're going to have a law enforcement officer. You hire them for 4 hours. It costs $200. And you are actually accompanying this whole tour as a marked unit and a law enforcement officer on the tour. That's something that would be easy to do. And you never again would be in danger at an open house.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. It's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. Each of you has different goals. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. Okay, I never thought about hiring law enforcement for an open house. Now, we'll have a lender partner there with us. And, you know, I don't care if it sounds sexist or whatever. I want a man there while I'm having an open house just because it's going to act as some kind of a deterrent. And I pack heat, so I'm already fairly protected, but I want to stop the shenanigans so I don't have to use my weapon.
Exactly right. You want to deter this from even coming to your house.
Correct. So I want to hear about this law enforcement thing. How do you hire a cop to come to your open house? How is that possible? How does the logistics work? Tell me about this.
So it would be expensive to do it every Sunday. So that's why you just have an open house tour. You create like an auction environment. You have four open houses. The sellers love it. They're only gone for an hour. It's a half hour open house. And you call the local police department and say, I want to hire an off-duty officer at time. It's about $50 an hour. So for $200 once a month, you have this tour accompanied by it, just like you would have an auction or something, right? And you have law enforcement there, marked unit, a regular police officer in uniform, and he or she accompanies the tour. Listen, nothing's going to happen at a situation like that, especially if there's law enforcement there. But even if it's not, let's say you didn't hire law enforcement. The fact that you have a tour, I would have a couple people with you. Maybe that's when you have your lender or your title rep or whatever. And you just create an atmosphere where it's not the atmosphere that someone's going to go into. Right along with that, we need to start. Let's say you don't take my advice and you're going to continue to do crazy open houses by yourself. You got to have live stream. You got to live stream this. All these killers are telling me this is a gold mine. Number one, I can get you to show me a vacant home. It's easy to make one phone call. Number two, I'll just show up at your open house or your model home. So you have to have a signage out front. This is being live streamed when you walk in. Oh, shit. And then you walk in and you're on, and then you have a body camera. What is a body? A body camera will stop most of these incidents, like 99%. It also stops incidents where somebody said, you made a sexual advance at me. You said something racist to me. I mean, like that would really offend me because I'm very much against racism and anything like that. I say, I got a body cam on. I've got the footage. Even down to the silly things like, hey, Lee, you didn't put the key back. Let me send you the footage of me putting it back. It just eliminates. That's why law enforcement has it. That's why firefighters now have it. And I believe everybody in this industry is going to have body cams. Why real estate agents don't, I don't know.
Okay, so why do killers say that they are going to avoid a live stream when we just saw the media memory hole, a guy that was sniping people in DC with, he was live streaming the whole thing, but he didn't fit the media narrative, so he got memory holed.
Yeah.
So what about that is a deterrent? Is it just going to deter some of them and that just makes it one step better? It's part of the whole 12-step plan where you got to do everything?
It's the mass murderer doesn't care about being live streamed because their end goal is suicide, right? So if you know you're going to die, then there's nothing's going to
do. Oh, so it's the difference in the serial killer and the mass killer.
The mass killer and the realtor killer is different. Most of the realtor killers, they want to rob you or rape you.
Gotcha. Okay.
They don't want to be caught, right? Lee, when it comes, you know, 11 of my steps are crime prevention. The last one is self-defense. Like, consider a personal protection device. When it comes down, like you said, you're packing heat, so do I.
But some I'll just point this out. If you're going to carry, you better practice, y'all. I don't recommend you buying a gun and toting it around if you don't know how to operate it correctly and you don't know safety. I'll just add that in there.
That's true. And it's not for everybody. Some people don't like guns. My wife doesn't carry a gun. But for those that talk about protection, most of my plan is crime prevention. It eliminates them from choosing you. That's your first goal. When someone comes, like there was a guy recently walked into a, let me think where it was. It was in Connecticut or something. A former realtor walked in and shot both of the owners in the head, then killed himself. If somebody's that desperate, then this nobody's plan is going to stop them. That's when it comes down to self-defense. Another guy, another male realtor had a disgruntled customer and came to the office and shot him right in the face and killed him in the office, in the meeting room. So there's a percentage of people that if they're willing to die, my 11 steps aren't going to stop them. The guy at Buffalo yesterday at the grocery store, he's there to die. He can't believe he didn't, but he didn't. And that's why he's live streaming the event on Twitch or whatever he did. So if we put it, enact my safety plan, and I'll give it to Lee so she has it, we can eliminate 99% of these incidents. Someone that's set out to kill you, no matter what. Another thing we realize that we have to realize, some people want to die and some people don't care if they go to prison. James Hull, who killed Ann Nelson in Wisconsin, he said, I don't mind prison. I've been in prison my whole life and I'm comfortable here. So it's not a deterrent that he might get caught. He's willing to risk it. But he told me, and Aaron Lewis told me, if you would have taken me to the office first, I wouldn't have killed these agents. If you would have live streamed, I wouldn't have done it. If there was two people in the house, I wouldn't have done it. There's certain things we can do. You know, if you would have run my driver's license, I wouldn't have done it. That's what they told me.
So what this boils down to is there are more things that can be done. But friends, if you're in real estate, you need to be doing the basics that Phil just mentioned that y'all have been hearing about since time immemorial. So you need to meet people somewhere besides the property. Now, if you aren't able to go to an office because you're a virtual agent, you can go to Starbucks or Panera or anywhere that's well lit where you have other people so that there is a starting point. People aren't, it's that one-on-one that starts to change things and you shouldn't be by yourself. And this is probably the hardest thing for realtors to get their mind around, Phil. You've seen it in your years in the business too. There's this whole, well, it's kind of what teenagers, they all think they're invincible. It won't happen to me. It happens to somebody else. I'm so special. I'm so smart. Nobody would ever come after me. That's not true. And so you've got to always be thinking about the fact that somebody else out there has different motives and different plans. So y'all, be smart. This business is amazing, but you're often operating by yourself. And the public, I cannot stress enough to the public, when a realtor asks you for your ID and wants to have a meeting before you go look at property, please understand they're trying to follow protocol so they can come home to their families and they can carry on the business of real estate. And as I like to point out to agents, if Walmart can demand your ID before they will cash your check, then a realtor should be able to look at an ID before you allow somebody into the place where somebody else's children sleep at night. We just don't, I think, place enough weight on the fact that we are in somebody else's private personal space when we're doing residential real estate. And by the way, commercial realtors, y'all are not immune from this either, because showing a big old empty warehouse can be full of squatters and you can be full of shenanigans and crime going on in the back room. So don't be thinking that you're special either. You've all got to be smart about this. Now, Phil, where can my listeners and viewers find your podcast, your book, your class? Where are all your collateral materials they can dig in?
So my website is philchalmers.com and they can email me there. The podcast is called Where the Bodies Are Buried. It's on any podcast platform. And I am launching a real estate training class. So if you'd like me to come out and speak at your office, your event, I would conduct a 3-hour training class. I was going to play a clip from Lee of one of these interviews, but I don't think you're interested. But I do have interviews with Lee, several of these killers, talking about how they chose the agent, how it went down. When I've tested this out in 3 markets, people were fascinated with that aspect. Like, wow, that's how they chose the agent. I mean, that's me. You know, this is what I do. So I'd love to come out and do a training for you, and they can reach me on my website. I have a YouTube channel as well.
So there you go, friends. Now, all of Phil's links are in the show notes for this episode. So you can jump over to his podcast. You can jump to his website. You can jump to his YouTube channel and watch some of these snippets and think about how a next safety class, maybe it doesn't save everybody, but if you save a few people from trouble, let's get that number down so that fewer realtors are attacked in the process of helping their neighbors conduct the biggest financial investment of their lives. So be smart, be cautious, and then totally go ahead and be addicted to the stories in the podcast. Just don't wind up a guest on there would be my best suggestion.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on.
Bill, thank you for coming on the show and for giving us some insights and some tips to be smarter out there. And public, be nicer to your realtors, understand their protocol, because we can all do this together and the serial killers can stay in jail where they belong.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out, I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.